We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Mizzou That's Who.
What is up and welcome into this week's edition of Mizzou That's Who, your podcast for Missouri sports on Kansas City Sports Network. I am your host, Tucker Franklin, joined as always by Gabe DeArmond and Maggie Johnson. The Missouri basketball Tigers just narrowly missed out on a NCAA tournament berth. Gabe, how are you doing?
I'm good. Full off-season mode. We now just, all I do is watch Twitter, see who's in the portal, who's leaving, who's on the way in. So that'll be the next 7 weeks or so. And then they'll have football official visits and camps. And then it'll be SEC media days because the NCAA likes to build the calendar so that no one associated with college sports gets days off anymore.
They do certainly love to do that. It's kind of like NFL free agency. That last week when NFL free agency opened up, you're glued to Twitter. Maggie, how have you been? How are things going on the other side of the state?
Good. It is, I guess, kind of like an off season for me because I don't have a website to run or anything like that. But yeah, I will be glued to my TV watching March Madness a little bit. I'm not invested, which is kind of nice. I don't care who wins and loses unless I head over to Illinois and put a little money down. But other than that, it's kind of nice to, you know, now just sit back and relax a little bit. I guess we've kind of been doing that for a while.
Right. Gabe, I kind of identified you in your 10 Things article that came out on Monday about the NCAA tournament. I don't think it's like a Mizzou thing. Like, I don't think it's because Mizzou's not in it. I don't care about it. Because like last year, I wasn't like too gung-ho about the tournament. There's something about the tournament and something about college basketball that I've kind of waned off of. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a je ne sais quoi about college basketball, but I just am not as into it as I used to be.
Yeah, I think it's more college basketball. I mean, I followed it a lot more closely last year because I needed to, right? Right. And so when Missouri's involved, when Missouri's doing things that matter, I will. But college basketball has become a six-week sport. To care about it for longer than that, you have to be one of the diehards. And there are those people. There are some fans that really are only college basketball fans and not college football fans. College basketball media is super interesting to me because it's like they're trying to convince you 12 months a year that their sport is the most important one. And it's like this. They're very erudite and much better than college football people.
That's a good word.
But outside of that segment of people, 6 weeks a year. I mean, it's my job, and I don't pay attention until bragging rights. And then, honestly, like this year, I quit paying attention at bragging rights. So that 24-hour window was solid for me this year. But outside of that, I have not really followed college basketball.
Do you think it's a blue blood thing? Do you think like blue bloods are ruining it? Like, what do you think is the issue?
It's you don't know anybody. Like, even in college football, like, you have to stay there for 3 years, right? What we talked about this last year, Kobe Brown may never happen again in Missouri basketball because you have to be good enough to stay at a place and be wanted at a place, but not so good that you're going to make money from more money from another school or the NBA to stay somewhere 4 years. I mean, I grew up with it. Can you imagine Doug Smith and Anthony Peeler playing 4 years of college basketball these days? Derek Chivas, 4 years. It doesn't happen. The good players are not even there for a calendar year, right? Like, and this started a while ago, but like, I know Kevin Durant's a Texas guy and Texas people claim him, but he lived in Austin, Texas for like 8 months of his life, you know? It started with the one and done. I think the portal, the free transfers has made it even accelerated. Look, this is going to be Dennis Gates' third team, and like it's probably the third year in a row he's bringing in at least 8 or 9 new guys. And I don't knock him for that. That's the way you do it these days. But it does, there's a disconnect with fans.
Well, think about the draft, like the draft this year. How many guys in the first round of the draft aren't going to be from a Division I university? They're going to be from overseas. They're going to be from whatever league the G League. I mean, I don't even know a bunch of those players that are going to be drafted in the first round. It's kind of crazy, to be honest with you.
It is wild because I can't remember, was it Luka Garza? Maybe they were talking about one Big Ten player of the year, and now, like, you don't hear from him. Like, he's playing in the G League right now, and usually if you're the Big Ten player of the year, back in the day, I mean, you were the guy. You were the guy to get drafted. If you were winning player of the year titles, the Naismith player of the year titles, like, you would be the it guy. Now it's not like that anymore just because I think the basketball pool is so large, Maggie, as you mentioned with it. But I think for me, like, happened with COVID. And like, I realized when COVID happened and there weren't any fans in the arena, I was like, oh, I just watch these for the atmosphere. I don't watch them for the actual basketball. Because the basketball, if you want to watch good basketball, watch the NBA. Like, that's some talented players playing talented basketball. That might be a hot take, but I think the NBA players are good at basketball. And I started watching, like, COVID college basketball, and I was like, this is kind of tough to watch. This is kind of tough to watch a little bit when it comes down to, like, the talent of it all.
That's what happened to me with Major League Baseball. I found out during that summer they didn't play that I didn't really miss it. I have watched one Major League Baseball game since COVID.
Wow.
I'm fine without it. And look, this is we are a football society, right? Like,
yeah.
I said earlier this year, the difference between a bad football season and a bad basketball season is people still care about the bad football. Bad basketball, they just turn off. Like, you just don't really even know what's happening. And, you know, outside of 5 or 6 schools, like, there's no debate anymore. Are we a football or a basketball school? You're all football schools, except for 3 or 4 of you. And guess what? If you get good at football, those might be football schools too.
I saw a Tennessee fan put something up the other day, and obviously Tennessee's pretty good at baseball. Basketball, and I mean, they're okay at football, right? And they put, would you rather win a national championship in baseball, make a Final Four in basketball because they don't have one, or win the SEC in football? And I was like, how is that answer still not win the SEC in football? Like, no matter what, to me, that should be the standard, because you win the SEC in football, everything comes with it. Donors come with it. You know, the recruits come with it. And I think players come with it in other sports too. So to me, like, that's still the answer no matter what.
Yeah.
And look, football, there's 12 games or 14 games, or an NFL fan, 17. They are events. College basketball plays twice a week for 4 months. You know, like, you're like, if I miss this one, catch the next one. It's no big deal.
Right.
It's the only one it's the only sport that truly makes a bunch of money, too. I mean,
yeah.
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 The only real revenue-generating one. But so the offseason started for Missouri basketball yesterday on Monday, as soon as the selection committee did not select them, sadly. Probably the, you know, they do the first
started last Wednesday.
Yeah. They were probably the fifth team out. They only go the first four. They were probably the fifth team out.
Of the CIT.
Yeah, right. No, right. Yes. No, I wasn't talking about the actual tournament. I was talking about all the other ones. But look, Dennis Gates has some work to do. He's got his work cut out with this offseason. There's a lot of things that didn't quite go right for this season. Portal opened up already, Gabe. What do you think? You know, they got the talented freshman class coming in, but what do you think is kind of the first step, I guess, in this offseason process for Dennis?
Well, I think, I mean, look, there's already two guys in the portal that I know they're looking at and would be happy to add. Javon Porter from Pepperdine. Yes, it's that family. And Terrace Reed Jr. From Michigan just went in the portal. He's a sophomore, 6'10", 260, 9-7 this year. But those are guys that I've been kind of waiting. Hey, if they enter the portal, Missouri will be involved. They have to have a point guard. I mean, they have to. I don't know who you look at on this current team and say, what, you've got to have them back. I don't think they're, maybe you guys disagree. There's not one guy that I say, absolutely, you have to keep him. If he wants more money, you have to pay it. If anybody on an 0-19 came into my office and said, coach, I want to stay, but I'm getting offers, I need a raise. I don't get, if I do the equivalent of 0-19 at Power Mizzou, I don't get no raise. It's not how it works. Your deal's your deal. If you want to come back, cool. Or not cool. With some of them. Some of them will be told, we don't want you to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that I would care that much about. And I think that really the only player that has eligibility left that made significant strides to me would be Tamar Bates.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the only one that I feel like I saw development in, to be honest.
I think you want to keep Bates. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you go to all these guys and say leave.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's also, to me, not catastrophic if he were to come in. Now, he told my guy Drew King after the game, hey, I'm going to look at the NBA stuff, but I'm coming back. You know, so he'll be back. I fully expect him moved here. And he came here in part to be closer to his family, his daughter. After games, you would see him. He'd always have a bunch of family at home games and stuff like that. So I think he's back. The interesting part to me is the freshman. And look, I don't know how you can say you saw anything out of any of them that tells you he's a big part of a winning team next year. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be. I'm not advocating tell them all to hit the road. But if Gates and his staff told him that, I don't think I'd argue with it either.
And none of them are from here. Like, Tamar's from Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't blame any of the freshmen if they wanted, you know, to go closer to home either. I mean, it's one of those things where...
The problem is, though, with anybody on this team, there's not anybody on this team who's transferring to a better school.
Yeah.
Or a better program. Like... And I know people are listening, well, we're 0-19, everybody's better. You get what I'm saying. I mean, if you're transferring from here, you're probably not doing it to a power conference. I mean, maybe another power conference team looks and says, hey, you know, Aunt Robinson, he's got 3 years left. Cool, we'll take a chance on that. But, you know, like if Aiden Shaw's going to go somewhere, the chances that it's a high major school, I don't think are very high at this point. I think if you're transferring for playing time, you're probably dropping down a level. And now that doesn't mean some guys that's the choice everybody has to make, right? And we look at these recruiting situations and everybody tries to put them all in one box and says, well, here's what I would look at. Cool, but you're not them. So it doesn't really matter what you would look at. It only, some of them care about playing time. Some of them care about the name, the prestige and which school they're at. Some of them only care about money. Some of them might have a girlfriend at the school. Some of them might like a certain colored uniform. You know, I mean, there's a million different things. And so there's never just, like, my favorite thing is every time somebody hits the portal, there's a list of, like, Arkansas and 26 other schools that have reached out. The other 26 change. Arkansas never changes. But then immediately fans of all 27 of those schools will look and say, well, I mean, our school makes the most sense for him.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were you deciding, yes, because you're hugely biased. But we don't know what he's using to make his decision.
Here's a question I have. Last year, I'm not sure if this is true, but Diarra, I feel like, entered the transfer portal kind of early. And I'm not sure
pretty soon after the season ended, yeah.
And I'm not sure if he was forced to enter the transfer portal. I'm not positive if that was true. But I feel like we tried to get some big guys, some rim protectors in there to replace him, most definitely, and we whiffed on them. NC State just won the ACC. We all know that. We all watched it happen. Do you think that Gates might be a little bit more careful not to, push some people aside before that happens so that we're not in a predicament like that?
I mean, I don't think he ran Mo Diarra off. My impression was Diarra wasn't super happy here, wanted to go somewhere, and they didn't fight to keep him. You know, hindsight's a beautiful thing. We can all go back and say we were screaming for them to keep Mo Diarra at the end of last year. I wasn't.
Nobody was. I mean, absolutely nobody was, Gabe.
I would have maybe said keep him under the condition that he's never allowed to dribble the ball. Tell me he's not allowed to dribble the ball on the court. Then maybe you can keep him. But look, I didn't see that. So this is, to me, I was just talking about this with somebody this morning. There's two things here. First of all, the offseason, like, I feel like there's a segment of fans that the offseason is now the event, right? The portal is cooler than the game. Yeah. I mean, the point here is to cheer for your team to play games. And I get the interest. Trust me, I'm not telling anybody don't be interested in the portal and recruiting. Please do. Pay to follow it. But it has almost become its own. Like, I think there are some people that enjoy, you know, April through August more than they enjoy the seasons. And for me, the portal has had the opposite effect here. I don't worry at all about any individual recruitment. I mean, there might come along a kid every now and then that it's like, you've got to get him. But overall, my attitude is he just has to be right. He has to get the right guys. I don't know if the right guys are Javon Porter and Terrace Reed. I don't know if the right guy was Mo Diarra. I don't know who the right guy is. He has to be right, and we're going to find out in 10 months if he is right. You know, I mean, how many people, including me, buried Eli Drinkwitz when he didn't get a transfer quarterback? Turns out the right guy was there the whole time. Yeah. It just took Eli and the rest of us a couple of years to see it. So Gates just has to get it right. And to me, you can gnash your teeth and stress out about every single individual kid. Well, that's the guy we need, and that guy was not good. I'll wait till about next Valentine's Day, and I'll know if he got it right or not.
Yeah,
that's it. That makes for excellent podcasting and message board material, by the way. See you in 11 months.
That's a great way to go about it. We do got to take a break. We got to hear from our friends at Homefield and some of our other partners. So we got to get in here, get a break. Then once we come back, we'll get some final thoughts on the basketball season, move into the spring game talk. But got to tell you about our friends at homefieldapparel.com. Maggie and I both rocking some great vintage made fresh designs from Homefield Apparel. You can go check them out. For all your Mizzou apparel needs, you can use the code KCSN23 at checkout for 15% off your first order. You can get more than just Mizzou, too. If you've got friends from other universities, you can get them a gift. If you feel like being a nice person, you can do that. You can get them over 150-plus universities. They just dropped, like, a college basketball jersey from Mizzou as well. That's also pretty sick with the Block M design. It's pretty cool. Go check them out. Again, code KCSN23 at checkout gets you 15% off your first order. We'll be back with some basketball final thoughts and the spring game. We'll be right back.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, final thoughts from this season. A kind of a disastrous season that I don't think anyone anticipated Missouri going 0-19. Well, maybe after they lost to Vanderbilt, we're like, okay, this was probably on the table. But going into the season, did not necessarily think that that was a possibility. Gabe, I'll start with you. Just kind of some final thoughts on the season.
This body's been dead for about 3 months. I got no more autopsying left in me. Everything was bad. Like, fans always try to identify one thing that this is what went wrong, right? Because one thing's real easy to fix. The problem is it's not one thing.
Right.
Yeah, Noah Carter and Nick Honor weren't good enough. Yeah, he whiffed in the transfer portal. Yeah, the freshmen didn't do what they thought they would do. Yeah, they got hurt. Yeah, he made some bad decisions. Like, it's a ton of things. The problem with college sports is all those things come back to the coach. So the only thing you ever hear is fire the coach. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. Look, I don't know. If your faith is not shaken that Dennis Gates is going to be good here, I don't know how it's not shaken. Like, I want you in my foxhole if you 100% believe that Dennis Gates will get it done here. Because he might, but there's no way. I mean, I don't know how your belief isn't a little shaken. But it's not just one thing. You don't go 0-19 because of one thing. It was everything. It was all bad, and it all went as poorly as it could have gone.
Maggie.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was the perfect storm, and everybody, you know, when you're active on Twitter and people are always asking you, and I kind of got on my nerves and I stopped answering the question when people kept asking me, how do you go 0-19? How do you go 0-19? I can't answer that question either. Like, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that he led us to our first tournament win in however many years last year. So if you're going to sit here and you're going to give him that credit last year and do all these things, man, just let him bring his guys in and see if he can do something before you tell him that he's the worst person on the planet and all of these things. Just like, give him a shot. If he fails, he fails. We try again. But I mean, I don't know.
Because what's your choice? They're not firing him.
Right. No. And I don't think that they should, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think that they should. Like, they're not going to, and I don't think that they should. I don't think they should,
but if somebody does think they should, I see that point of view.
I do.
0-19, I understand if you think he should be fired. I get it. I'm not going to try to convince you that he shouldn't be fired. I'm only going to tell you he's not going to be fired. Like, there's a lot of things in my life I wish I had. I don't have $20 million. I don't have, love my wife, but don't have supermodels leaving their boyfriends and Hollywood lifestyles to ask me on a date. Like, I can bitch about that every day, or I can just say, okay, well, those aren't things that are going to happen. So let's see what I can do with what I have.
Right. And I just think that it's better to see what we can do with this incoming class than to fire him and completely start over. Like, I would rather give him that one more year, because the alternative is to fire him, lose that class, and start from the bottom again. So I'd rather just give him that year. And, you know,
also, who has the $21 million?
Oh, yeah, no.
They're not firing. So, and again, you can be as mad about that as you want to be.
We don't even have an AD to do it. So, I mean,
right. they apparently aren't even firing Robin Pinchton. She's been there 14 years, not two. So, you know, I mean, nothing really appears to be happening over there. So,
I mean, I haven't heard anything on the AD search. I mean, that has been very quiet. Look, 10 months for AD searches do tend to last longer than coaching head searches, right? That's just how this thing goes.
A&M took about 2 months to hire their guy. So I don't think the timeline is a problem. I've gotten some indications that Missouri has been told by a couple people they have not real interest in talking about that job. Who they'll hire, I don't know. I don't think any of us know. But I think everybody kind of is asking the same question: who's in charge? And the problem is, when you don't have an AD, nobody has to answer questions.
Right.
The board of curators doesn't ever answer questions publicly. Moonshoy doesn't answer questions, certainly not for sports writers. You know, everybody in the Missouri AD right now, like, people are like, what are your people saying over there? My people over there are saying, I hope I have a job when the next guy comes in. That's all they're worried about. They ain't trying to feed me any information about who that person might be. They're just trying to stay low, stay out of the way, have a job when the next person gets here. That's everybody's focus at Missouri right now.
The only person we know right now that would have a job would be Drinkwitz, so they should all be worried.
Right.
Yeah.
I assume Brian's probably will be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of not been the picturesque winter and spring season for Missouri sports. Wrestling did start well, but they kind of fizzled out a little bit. I think, what was it, gymnastics going to SEC championship? Is that this week?
That's this coming weekend.
This coming weekend. Okay. So they still have high hopes. The wrestling championships are in Kansas City. I thought about trying to go. I don't know if you've seen the ticket prices. They're astronomical.
I got a credential because there was a time that a lot of people thought Missouri had a shot at a top five finish. Missouri just finished fourth in the Big 12. Like, I'm not going to Kansas City 3 days in a row to watch them finish eighth or ninth or whatever. Like, they've done that before. And it's very good. Don't get me wrong. You know, you've got a good program when it's like a top 10 in the country. you know, but nobody thinks Missouri has a shot to like make history there anymore.
But when all
Buffalo
the other
baseball
good
got outscored 47-3 this weekend, so that was nice.
That was bad. When all the other good wrestling teams are also from the areas close to you, I mean, you have the Oklahoma schools, you have Iowa State, and they're, you know.
They're only missing Iowa, I guess, in their conference.
Right. Like it's like I wrote yesterday. The approach is just, Eli, please just keep winning and nobody else will pay any attention to anything.
That's what they're going to certainly try to do. Spring game happened. The black and gold game. I don't know if they officially call it the spring game. I think they officially call it the black and gold game. As everybody anticipated, black edged out gold 10-9. Riveting.
2-point conversion.
On a missed 2-point conversion. Thoughts on the game, Gabe? A little bit different of a setup that they had done in years past, but thoughts on the whole?
Well, I'm not going to go too far on this because I already got people mad at me because we did a thing on Saturday and I said, I didn't learn anything, guys. I don't know. I don't put a lot of stock in a 2-hand touch spring football game. And they got mad at me for not wanting to do my job and all that. And like, look, Cole Kubelik knows football really well, did a 20-minute breakdown of the spring game, and that's great for if that's what you want. I don't know. I appreciate covering Eli Drinkwitz because he doesn't make more of spring football than it is. He doesn't try to make it into anything. It is 15 days where I can make sure my guys are here in the building, not getting in trouble, they're staying healthy. Let's get to fall camp. That's really what spring ball is.
Yeah, it's a glorified practice. And it's actually kind of nice that I used to kind of get annoyed that he does it so early compared to everybody else, but I
love it.
Yeah, it's actually kind of nice now, like in retrospect, that he does it early. It kind of gives the players a little bit of time off. I don't know if they get that much time off, but I think they get some time off. Very interesting, though, that Brady had all of his wide receivers on the other team. I think that's kind of crazy, but interesting. But his wide receivers did great, so also cool. I don't know.
I think
real games in 6 months.
Yeah. Caleb Flagg, defensive MVP. I saw that come across. Joshua Manning, offensive MVP, caught a touchdown. Everyone saw the social clip go of it. I thought this was interesting. I was reading through some of the stuff. They said the Missouri Athletics article of the spring game, the write-up said that Caleb Flagg had 7 interceptions in spring ball. And I thought, why are you keeping track of that, number one? But like, that's kind of impressive for him to have 7 interceptions.
Also, like, they could have said any number. Yeah. He's going to prove him wrong.
Nope.
He had 29 interceptions in the last 2 weeks. Okay, cool. Good for him.
I made a note that I read that. I was like, 7? How did I? That's weird. You can just make whatever claims you want. But one of the things that the clip obviously was going around was of Toriel Pride, his interception. Got me excited for him, Gabe. He got me excited from that one clip that I saw to get him in this Missouri defense.
Yeah, underthrown pass, but he went up, made a nice play on it. You know, he's probably a starting quarterback, I think. And that's the thing to me about spring football is, there's nobody today that I say, well, that guy's starting, that I wouldn't have said that about 3 weeks ago. You know, and that's fine. I mean, that's good. That means there's not a lot of holes on your team. I understand, again, going back to we are a football society, right? It truly has become a 12-month-a-year sport. And so I understand it's been a couple months. Missouri fans haven't seen their team. A lot of people are into it enough that it's just like, hey, I just want to see the guys wearing a Missouri uniform run around and do football things. And that's cool. I'm just not somebody that puts much stock in spring football. And not knocking people who do. There are times, like last year, spring football felt bigger because it's like, do we know who the quarterback is on this team? Right. We know that this year. We know they've got Luther coming back. I mean, yeah, there are some questions, but the framework of this team, we kind of know. So, again, I go back to what we were talking about with the portal. I'm just less and less of an off-season person. Give me to August, and then 100%, 100 miles an hour every day. Let's follow this thing. But again, it is an industry, and it's the industry I've chosen. So we certainly follow it. But I do think that there is a segment where the off season is more interesting than the regular season, and it's just I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I just find it really fascinating.
One another thing you have to remember about spring games is a bunch of your freshmen don't even play.
A bunch of your freshmen aren't here. You're not running any plays because every one of these coaches is convinced that every team on their schedule is taking that spring broadcast and breaking it. And honestly, they probably are. That's how maniacal football people are. So they don't do anything that they're, I happened to ride the elevator up with the member of Missouri's offensive staff on Saturday, and they were talking about the trick plays, right? I guarantee you they're going home going, see, now Boston College staff has to spend 10 minutes worrying about if we're going to run that trick play week three. The funny part is we all view it as the most important practice of spring football because it's the only one we really see. It is by far the least important. Because they're doing, anytime we are allowed in the stadium to watch them, they are not going to do anything.
And that's fun. I mean, Gabe, I want to go back to a point that you said, that like this team doesn't really have a ton of holes, which is a good thing, right? That's what kind of made the spring game not as interesting as it would have been in years past. I do think that there's a lot of storylines that maybe we didn't have coming into the spring game this year that we did last year. You talk about the quarterback part. A big storyline was going to be, hey, look, there's going to be a backup quarterback. Someone's got to be a backup quarterback. Sam Horn tore his UCL. He's had Tommy John. Who's going to be the backup? And then before this, they get a commitment from Drew Pine. So, I mean, there wasn't really a ton of like intriguing storylines, right, that you could try to conjure up and try to draw interest from going into this one. And you mentioned a lot of the guys we thought were starters came out and played like starters. So, like, I mean, that was a good thing to see. So it's like, it's one of those things where, like, all right, well, you guess you got to confirm your priors, I guess, with this, with this practice that you got to see. And I think that's a good thing, right? I think if you can see your starters play like starters, awesome. That's great. I know they've got some coaches. Brian Early's got to get integrated into the staff and all everything like that. I don't know how much he plays into this, but. Look, I just think that there's a lot of good things you can still take from it because your starters play like starters.
Here's the tough part of scrimmages too, right? And this is why, like, I know for a fact, Gary Pinkel it was never one offense versus one defense. Every scrimmage was like one offense versus two defense. And it's good because then your one offense looks real good, right? Well, like, I don't know if you guys remember, Missouri basketball went to Jamaica for like this offseason thing. And they put out on social media, Trent Pierce scored 20 some odd points in this scrimmage in Jamaica, and there was all this preseason talk of Trent Pierce. And now, if you remind a Missouri fan of that, the automatic response is, well, of course he scored 20 points. Our guys suck on defense. Like, so no matter what, you're playing against yourself. Anything that looks good, you can also argue is bad, right? So that's the hard part about judging scrimmages.
Same thing with training camp. People eat training camp up. Chiefs training camp specifically, and you're like, wow, you could always swing a play like that was a great play by Legere Sneed right there when it could have been,
or that was a terrible throw,
or that was a terrible throw by Shane Buechele. Right. You know, you can conjure it up whenever
things are equally likely, by the way.
Yeah, yes, very much so. But yeah, no, I don't know if you guys have any, Maggie, I don't know if you have any overarching thoughts on the spring game. Were you in attendance? Did you end up going to the spring game?
I did not go to the spring game. I'm kind of the same as Gabe. I'm not a big spring game person. I've actually never went to the spring game before. Not because I'm like disinterested. It's just always been practice to me. I think last year, didn't they do it inside? They closed it.
It was 17 degrees last year, the day Missouri played Princeton, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That was something like that. Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things to me. You don't even know really if half those people, not half. I mean, the transfer portal can still open and some of those players might not even be on the team.
For sure.
So for me, I'm just like, I don't know. It's just not that exciting to me. I'll wait and see who's on our team in come August when we open up play. So.
I thought about making the trip because, you know, free to go. And it's like, you know what? You know, Tara had some things to do. So I was like, yeah, I'll be by myself. I'll make the trip to Columbia. And then when I had woken up, I saw all the Legarius Sneed stuff going on with, like, he could be traded. He's not going to be traded, but he could be traded. They've agreed to the deal, but they haven't agreed to the contract. I saw that. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just watch this one on TV. Maybe I'll just turn on the old SEC Plus broadcast and watch that one. And that's what I did. Pro Day coming up on Friday. For the Missouri Tigers, 22nd. I have a lot of guys in attendance there. And then we're full off-season mode, so we won't be back for a little while until, pending an AD hire, I would assume we would be back for a podcast like that, or as news breaks, we'll be back for that. But we are going to take a break from your regular scheduled programming. We appreciate you guys hanging with us through the season, through the basketball season especially. It was a fun football season, very fun football season. I'll actually have a conversation with Darius Robinson coming up for the KCSN Draft Show. That'll also be here on the Mizzou channel as well. I'll make sure that gets to you guys as well, because you're going to hear a conversation with him. I think he's got some very high draft upside that people are going to get to see very shortly. So that's going to do it for this week's edition and this year's edition of Mizzou That's Who here on KC Sports Network. So for Gabe DeArmond and Maggie Johnson, I'm Tucker Franklin. Catch you guys later.